What's up, Long Beach? I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 8 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. Today, I'm here with grad student, artist, and poet Leo Leon.
Hey guys, it's Leo. I thought I'd read another poem from my book. It's the self-titled. It's called October 10th. I hope you like it. And that was the end of the party with some music mariachi thing. And you asked me to sing your favorite song. But I said, the music is still playing. Oh, I thought, that was going to be one of those last things. Now I know, not everything is going to be the same. You called me every Wednesday, asking me when am I coming to visit. Then I said I will love always, never knowing when it was going to hit. You had some tricks up your sleeve. Take a Polaroid of you in your picture frame. Giving you flowers on Christmas Eve. A grandmother's love never goes away. You're an angel with me, bringing breakfast every morning. A trip to the San Diego Sea, to telling me that I soon be mourning. Like, is this really love? She could be the way forward, and I know I'll pay for it. You're an angel with me, nails red as roses, eyes full of stars, working hard to get through life. Even though you tell me I should not cry, I said we'll soon be together, and that's a promise I tend to keep. In the final moments of our year, quarantined for 3 months, living life without the fear, you asked to take you with me, something I'd wish I had done. A whole world, just you and me. It's hard to lose a loved one. Rosy red flowers to a bottle of Coke, like it was paradise every day, another Mexican folk. Then I said I will love always within our phone calls on Wednesdays. You're a saint in disguise. She has a lot of tricks up her sleeve. A humble woman winning the Nobel Peace Prize, she gave me a chance to believe. She will love always, a queen who doesn't need upraise. In my humble experience, she will forever reign. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Leo, and thank you so much for being here today. Could you give an introduction to everyone?
Yeah, thank you for having me. My name's Leo. I'm a grad student here at Long Beach. I'm studying English. And I'm the poet and author on the side, and I've been here all my life pretty much.
So now, as a grad student at CSU Long Beach, what does your day and, you know, your life typically entail?
Honestly, as a grad student, it's kind of wild and chaotic because it's so completely different from undergrad, because I talked to my professors and I was like, oh, like, is it just a slow transition? And they're like, no, we're going to hit you hard with all the books and literature and things like that. So I work full time 40 hours and a full time student, and I'm doing projects on the side and trying to maintain a social life. Like, it's really honestly so chaotic, and it's just honestly a balance. Like, you're trying to find the balance, and that's what I'm learning this semester.
Yeah, like, with the material you're learning, you were an English major before, and now you're in grad school studying English. How does writing poetry and, like, this topic with your other projects that you do, how does that differ from what you're learning in school?
I write poetry based off of the things that are, like, I don't follow the rules. I don't like following the traditional kind of sentimental rules. I'm very contemporary, and I'm really, like, free. Mm-hmm. And, like, I will write anything that kind of comes down from my head to paper. But in the school setting, it's very strict, very, like, organizational and all that stuff. Yeah. And I'm the complete opposite of that. So it was a really fun transition having to not completely shut off the creative mind, but kind of, like, strategically plan it out, I guess, prioritize what's gonna be, what's important, what's not important, and to leave any unnecessary words.
So poetry is, like, your space to break all the rules.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about the release of your book, October 10th. I believe we just passed, like, the 1 year anniversary of its release, right?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Could you tell me about, like, what it's about, or?
Yeah, so October 10th is essentially, it's a collection of poetry. And I was, during this time period, it was like 3 years ago. It was like peak pandemic. Like, I was kind of, I lost my grandmother. That's the woman you see on the cover. I lost her, and I went through a breakup all in the same year during the middle of peak of pandemic. And I was forced to be isolated and alone with these thoughts. And the thoughts of grief of not only just one, but two people that you lost, it's really hard for someone to, like, kind of pull themselves out of it. And a lot of the times, like from what I've seen, is that like with other people, is that like they don't find a creative outlet to use, mm-hmm. or kind of find any sort of outlet. And so this book entails with a lot of different varieties of grief, the kind of specifically going through a breakup, but also losing a loved one. And you kind of jump back and forth mm-hmm. of, I guess, my alter ego and myself, and kind of battling the two of like trying to figure out how can I escape my own, I guess, nightmare of what grief was to me at the time. And I'm very grateful that I kind of used it and created it into something beautiful, because this is something that I really am proud of.
Absolutely.
It definitely entails a lot of like different parts of me that I was really scared to share for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
But also for other people, this book could also entail for what they go through, and like in varieties of grief,
mm-hmm.
whether if it's losing a loved one, losing your favorite pet, or losing your boyfriend, girlfriend, or anybody. And I wanted to share that to let other people know that like grief does exist.
Yeah.
It's always going to exist. It's going to stay there. It's going to hurt, but you can find the way out.
But what you were talking about, people understanding and feeling it, when I read October 10th, it made me like tear up and cry and think about my own grandma and like the grief within that.
Yeah.
You know, this book is obviously very personal to you.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say the choice of the name like of October 10th is?
So that's her birthday. So October 10th has always been like a very important date for me because mm-hmm. of her birthday. And I felt that it was right to release it on her birthday. And like even the pricing, everything is all connected to her.
Really?
Like the pricing on it on Barnes & Noble uh-huh. is, I think it's 1939, because that's the year that she was born.
Wow.
I made that decision. I've collectively did a lot of things are connected to her in this book. Like, for example, on the actual October 10th, she wears a nightgown typically when she goes to bed. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
I'm wearing her nightgown.
Yeah, the book is a collection as well as, mm-hmm. of professional photos of Leo.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the artist touching it too.
Yeah, because I've always imagined, if I were to ever publish a book, how would I do it? Think of like your favorite vinyl. Think of your favorite album.
Mm-hmm.
You just went to the store. You just bought it. You're so excited to look at the visuals. You're so excited to see the artistry and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the little pamphlet that you get with all the lyrics and everything on it with the visuals on top of it. Because I think visualization is so important, because it really ties to the words that I'm trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
And each photo is kind of wild, because I did this whole book in Portland, Oregon. So mm-hmm. I actually went up there for a week after I finished writing it.
Yeah.
The photographer, his name is Steven Luna. I love Steven to death, and I love his creative direction so much, because he knows what he wants to write, he knows what he wants to do, and he's gonna do it. And I just called him on a whim, and I just said, hey, in 2 weeks I'm gonna be in Portland, Oregon for a week. Are you available to do the photos? And luckily, like, he was free that week.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks later, we got on a car. We drove like 8 hours to uh-huh. literal Portland, Oregon, stayed in an Airbnb during Halloween week. And we created this whole entire visual picture art.
Could I hear about the process of publishing and the steps of creation?
Yeah, so it's honestly an interesting thing for me, because like when I decided to publish this, I went through different editors, different people, different literacy agents that I had to talk to
mm-hmm.
and kind of give them the entire vision. And respectfully, I got a lot of no's
mm-hmm.
because it's something that unfortunately isn't going to sell, in their opinion. Because it's a collection of poetry, and literacy is really difficult to sell. Unless it's something that's like milk and honey, then it's not gonna sell. And I kind of got tired of getting no's, and I just kind of decided I'm gonna self-publish it myself.
Oh, wow, you self-published it.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I had to learn how to self-publish, how to go about the whole process. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, like Barnes & Noble, they're really, really trying to reach out to a lot of aspiring
mm-hmm.
poets, writers, different people. So once I got in contact with them and figured it all out, and we were on our way, like, selling this book soon. So it was really a fun, difficult process.
I think it's a great thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a really big deal. In the book, you talk about the prevalence of God and astrology within your poetry. What do those themes mean to you?
So spirituality is something that my grandma and I, we've always been connected on. And once she had passed, it's kind of like, it became part of my personality because it was always her personality. Mm-hmm. So when she passed away, it's kind of like she passed it on to me. And it was something that I could learn and something I can grow in. And I've really wanted to dive more into, like, religion and mm-hmm. spirituality and all that stuff. But I also wanted to pick fun at it because the person that I was dating at the time was also really spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be funny to kind of, like, articulate the two of the worlds and kind of make it into something unique, where I wanted to tell a story but in a very weird and fun kind of way, where it's like something that's super relatable. Like, one of them's called Cancer Moon, mm-hmm. and that's actually my moon, and I kind of learned the whole astrological meaning of what it means to be a Cancer Moon, mm-hmm. and then that's kind of how I started writing it, where I would just, I think of how I am connected to it, and then I just kind of start writing it, picking fun at myself and picking fun of the things that, all my red flags, anything that goes on. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like, let's write this. Let's see what I can come up with. But I really wanted to shed a lot of light to, like, different types of spirituality, to a variety of audiences, where I mm-hmm. wanted to just say, hey, it's not what you think it is. It's really something that's fun and something that could be useful, something that you could learn more about yourself, but also learn from these experiences through, like, the spiritual signs, this astrological signs, whether you believe it or not. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just an eye-opening experience for not only me, but for other people too.
So it's a year later, and what does this project mean to you?
I think this project entails a lot of growth because mm-hmm. when I read it now, I'm in such a different headspace than when I was back then. And when I read this, I was like, this is dark. Like, this is really sad. But I understand where I was at this time mm-hmm. and, like, how I've learned to be okay with that grief and to move forward with my life. Yeah. And it's opened a lot of different opportunities for me. But this book will always kind of be, like, a reminder of, like, how I'm getting started. Mm-hmm. This project entails the many doors that I can, that not even just me, but, like, many other people, that they think that they can't do it. They can't publish a book. They can't write their favorite song or become a best-selling hit. Like, you can. Yeah. So I always felt like it was important because, like, there's a lot of kids, like, I guess, like, a lot of kids like myself, because I grew up in a family where we were very low income. We were, like, trying to get by, starting in a trailer park and all that stuff. And I saw a lot of different children from the border that they would just moved out here, first generation families and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And I was surrounded by it all my childhood. And they always kind of made it seem like it was impossible to do something like this. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what they feel now, especially with what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. And if I can inspire other people to do things, then, like, I want to be that stepping forward.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be that voice. I want to be that generation that can help others get inspired and others get to places where they can be, because it is possible. It just takes a lot of learning. Mm-hmm. And that's what this book means to me. It's just a learning experience.
That's incredibly empowering. Wow. You talked about your family and stuff that could relate to the book and understand it. Could mm-hmm. I hear a little bit more about that and what they found in it and the reception?
So, funny enough, I've never really talked to my family about the book. Really? Like, I, because they have it. They've all bought it. They've supported me in it. Uh-huh. Like, my mom's, like, my number one fan. She literally is, like, she's always telling everyone about this book. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I was like, girl, I love you, but please. But funny thing about it is that, like, they, so October 10th that's the one that hits them the most.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one, I guess, like, this is the first time I'm saying this out loud, but like, October 10th, this is actually what I read at her funeral and what my mom and I were talking about, because the only thing we talked about was this specific piece, because she saw the photos. She saw like my, her mom's, because it was her mom's mom that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of like saw me, she saw her in me. Like, I've also gotten told this too, like, I'm her legacy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm her living legacy, because I'm keeping the memory of her alive. Mm-hmm. Through this process and through this book, it's always something that I aspire to do, is like always to keep her name and her well-being alive, because she matters to me the most. And she's just such a beautiful person inside and out. And every person that she's ever talked to, like, she's just inspired many multiple people. And I miss her dearly.
Yeah.
And it's even on the back, it says con amor, with love, mm-hmm. of the book, because that's something that she's always said to me. And with my mom, her and I, we got a lot closer. And when she was telling everyone else about this book, like, she really hyped it up, because she really said that, like, this was kind of the most personal thing I could have ever put out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know, with my Vietnamese family, like, they don't talk sometimes, right? It's
no, I know, sad. Yeah.
Like, they just don't talk.
They don't talk. But, they know it exists, yes. But they're like, cool. And I was like, that's great. I'm crying. Like, that's beautiful but enough for me.
Her telling you that she saw her in you, that's like, yeah, it's like, it's the bits and pieces, but that's so strong. That's so heavy.
It's even when the conversation happened, it didn't feel a lot. But to me, it did, because like me with my Hispanic parents, like, they don't share emotions. They don't share anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very common in kind of like immigrant households. But they'll say the tiniest little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it means a lot. And to us, it means a lot.
Yeah.
So exactly. Her saying that, it meant a lot to me, because it really shows, like, she saw what I was trying to do and she knew that I was trying to get there. And it made me so proud to get that to her.
Yeah, funny exactly. Enough,
like, it's funny to say that.
I think currently where you are now, how do you plan to continue your journey in artistry and writing?
So I'm currently in the works of like two different projects right now.
Uh-huh.
On top of being school, yes. On top of being everything. And the next book that I'm writing, well, technically it's been done. But this time you go more into like the character of like my alter ego. Now that we're talking about grief, now we're going to talk about trauma.
Huh.
And how trauma interacts with that grief, and how kind of creating that alter ego.
Yeah.
And kind of just taking you on a journey of like different traumatizing events that mm-hmm. could sometimes be triggering, but also sometimes people find comfort. But this project the second one is a lot more bigger than the first one. This one where I wanted to go something more visual. So like a lot more like auditorial, visual.
Be video in addition? Mm-hmm. That's great.
So I have another project that I just finished writing, and uh-huh. we're in the process of taking the photos of those right now. Those talk about the ideology of relationships, the relationship dynamic.
Hmm.
And kind of like, does he love me? Does he not? But also talking about like the power dynamics in relationships, and how sometimes, especially being queer, like it's really kind of messed up, but also kind of intriguing to talk about, because mm-hmm. like when people fall in love, like you don't know what they can turn into.
So I think lastly, is there any advice that you would give to fellow writers that want to try their hand at poetry?
Definitely don't overthink it, because I've been writing poetry since I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to those journals, because I still have those journals, and I look at it and I'm like, why did I write this? Like, who? I was 16. Who hurt me? Like, this was like
so
like,
real.
But I always feel like people overthink it, because they're like, they expect it to rhyme, they expect it to do anything. And I'm like, no, poetry is the way that you want to create. If you can get your message out within a haiku or with a soliloquy or anything at all, like, it is possible. Like, you just do the way that you want it to do it. You write the way that you want it. There's no creative barriers. There's nothing blocking you. Just write it. and just see how it goes out, and read it to yourself out loud and ask yourself the question, do I understand what I'm trying to say? And if I don't, what could I do to convey the message without having to give so much detail away? So don't overthink it. Just write it. If it feels good, then it's good.
Thank you. For your upcoming, the second book, to October 10th, and then your other project, is there a place that you would like to send people to follow along?
Yeah, if you want to follow along on my wacky, weird, kind of crazy journey, I swear to God, it's a fun time. Follow my Instagram, my artistry account. It's called gothic.poet.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on here today, Leo. It's been wonderful.
Thank you for having me. I'm really thankful.
If you want to hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music, or follow along for future conversations, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials at daily49er. To see a collection of Leo's work and follow along with their journey, check out Gothic Poet on Instagram. We appreciate you being here. Take care and see you soon.